Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien.
Hello and welcome to Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast panel show trying to redesign our species. Today we're recording live from Cork Science Festival, and we're taking suggestions from our amazing panel and from our audience to try and figure out how we should upgrade the human body. Today I'm joined by three talking Turing machines in the form of our guests. First of all, on my immediate right, we have the amazing comedian, star of The Blame Game, and a ton of other things, actually, Neil Delamere.
Hello. What a pleasure to be here in this nightclub that looks like all the murders of love-hate happened in it. But it's going to be a good crack tonight, I have to say. I'm looking forward to the suggestions from our panellists and our audience.
Neil, your purpose tonight is that you're going to represent mankind and the people of Cork. You get to decide which motion goes forward. What kind of thing are you hoping to hear from our panellists? What would you like to see?
The last time we did it, there were some brilliant suggestions from the audience, and one guy wanted fibre optic broadband basically in his body, and he was an American man at the gig in Dublin. He didn't know that rural broadband in Ireland wasn't doing that well, so we're very much a dial-up society, to be perfectly honest with you, but it was a good suggestion, and stuff along those lines, I think, and from most of our audience here, they look like quite bright people. There's a couple that look like we probably get a grant for having them here, but they're the scientists. Where do I get a grant? I saw that. But I do think that there'll be good suggestions from our panellists and from the people sitting out there. So looking forward to anything. Anything and everything, as long as it improves the human race.
Okay, well, we have our experts here joining us. First of all, on our far left, we have Cian Luck.
Yay!
Now, Cian, I've been looking up your biography. You are a PhD student at MAREI, Centre for Marine and Renewable Energy at UCC. And you seem to spend a lot of time with seals. Please tell us, what is so good about Seal? Because I don't think he's had a hit for many, many years, and he's been gone downhill.
Oh, God.
That's only for people from the 1990s, that joke.
And I get a kiss from a rose.
I needed that for anybody to understand that as well. The rest of you can go home. What's good about seals?
Well, seals are a bit of a tough sell because they're kind of, you know, they're fat, they're hairy, but, I mean...
Leave our audience out of this. That's not nice.
They're the opposite of you.
I'll take that. But I mean, there's bits we can learn from them. So I mean, an obvious design flaw of humans would be. I mean, this isn't my pitch, but the obvious design flaw would be the testicles on the outside of the man. Very vulnerable point. Seals have found a way to internalize all that, which is brilliant. But they come up with this clever way to keep them all nice and cool and safe inside. So I'd say they're a bit ahead of us in that game.
Yeah, but on the other side of that, Irish men have learned to internalise all their emotions.
Yeah. So,
like, you never see a rampant alcoholic seal.
Yeah.
I could have got on the senior team, but they wouldn't let me. Just drinking his... Captain Birdseye's a bastard. Taking all my fish, you know.
I don't think the testicles are we keep our ego and our id and stuff, is
well,
it?
Well, speak for yourself.
Coming to a courtroom near you soon, that's all we can say. We're also joined by Alison O'Shea.
Hello.
Now, Alison, you're a PhD candidate with the Infant Research Center, but your research is mostly focused on what was deep learning algorithms. Could you please explain to us what is deep learning, as I don't feel like I've ever mastered shallow learning?
Well, deep learning is a type of learning where we actually don't need to do much engineering. So in deep learning, the computer does almost all the work for you. So my PhD, I'm being pretty lazy, to be honest, because the computer does all the work for me.
Is it actually true? So when people are being afraid of, you know, computers taking your jobs, you're afraid of computers taking your PhD?
Yeah. It's a big fear of mine, but I just try to keep everyone confused, and that way they think I'm an expert on it.
You've done a remarkable job.
So we can see how these guys are going to be able to pitch from within their expertise and give us their kind of ideas. Before we leap into the far-flung ideas of the future and get a bit sci-fi in this, each of our panel have brought along a news story with them to tell us what's happening right now, which is out there. Can we start with you, Kian? What's the story you brought with you?
Sure. Goats put the Faroe Islands on Google Street View.
Goats put the Faroe Islands on Street View.
That's correct. So the Faroe Islands, very small population. It doesn't exist on a lot of maps, let alone Street View. So they were pretty keen to get it on there. So they didn't have lots of people, but they had lots of goats. So they just strapped 3D cameras to the backs of them, and they traveled all around the island, mapping out the island, and now it's on Google Street View.
That is the single best thing I've ever heard.
Donegal is waiting, surely.
That's a brilliant idea, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and like it's kind of actually a trend in research these days. Like critter cams have become quite a trendy way of doing research. Critter cams, so literally just gluing cameras to the backs of animals and getting an idea of what they do. I mean, if you watch Blue Planet, you'll see a lot of the footage now is coming from the backs of these animals themselves. But you can do some genuine research with it. It's
But is that genuine research, or is it just somebody walks in and you're gluing something to a badger, yeah, and they go, "What are you doing?" And you go, It's research. I'm working for Google Street View, looking at the underground tunnels, just in case Chileans get locked underground again. We've figured the badgers are going to give them an escape plan because we've videoed underground. That's remarkable.
Before we move on with this, actually, I can see one flaw, because there was a massive court case a couple of years ago where there was a Sulawesi macaque had nicked somebody's camera and taken a selfie, and because of PETA... or PETA, I'm never sure how to say it. I don't know which one burns. They had actually sued, and they discovered that they'd given the copyright to the macaque.
Presumably the goats sign a waiver, though, you know? They get them to sign something beforehand. Google are pretty smart.
You just... See, that's what happened. They originally approached sheep, but sheep have collective bargaining. So the goats undercut them, and that's why they're not going to the right-hand side of the Lord in heaven.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Ken. All right. What about you, Neil?
Well, I want to keep it along those lines. Sheep can recognize human faces. So obviously, as long as they can't give evidence, we should be okay for the moment. Although if they can download the video, the goats have been taken, we're all in trouble. Speaking as a man from a rural background. Cambridge did a survey, or a study, I suppose, and there was 8 female Welsh mountain sheep, and they trained them to recognise human faces from photographs. Barack Obama, Jake Gyllenhaal, Emma Watson, and Fiona Bruce, the newsreader. And they rewarded them, and they trained them, and they had to break an infrared beam with their snout. Is it a snout? Face. And and then they got a treat if they recognise the person that they want them to recognise, and they actually recognise them. So I'd imagine there's a lot of farmers nervously ringing up Cambridge going, have they pointed anybody out at all?
I feel kind of bad now because I don't recognise any sheep.
No, you don't. No. I suppose not. It might be quite difficult to do a study like that. You're just showing sheep photographs. Going, one sheep recognises them, 2 sheep recognises them. You know. But genuinely, they reckon it is going to have some degree of insight into degenerative diseases. So Parkinson's and Huntington's. I think parts of the brain maybe light up in a certain way. So they know primates can recognise human faces, but they didn't know this about sheep.
So it's now, I think, primates, sheep, and pigeons. Because pigeons have been shown to recognize humans.
for your bird feed. In no way related, Cian, you spent a lot of time on islands, haven't you? Can you tell us, how do you cope with the loneliness?
Is this a different podcast?
Yeah.
Is this...
Yeah, I did get a lot of people worried about me spending so much time with seals, and I guess maybe it's a good thing seals can't recognise human faces yet either.
Well, we're about to find out, aren't we?
Do you know, before we explain any of this, let's move on. Alison, what's your news story?
Well, artificial intelligence has actually solved a problem that has stumped biologists for over 100 years. A worm, when you cut it in half, it can actually regenerate its entire self from both halves, and it knows when to stop, and it can regenerate every single part of it. And this has stumped biologists for many, many years, the mechanisms behind it. They've come up with many different theories, but no one single theory solves each part of that problem. So what a machine learning algorithm did in Massachusetts is it actually delved through all of the data and all of the papers published on it, and it created one model that could actually solve and explain away everything. And not only did it do just a massive amount of computation, which we know computers are already really good at it, it actually was able to do small evolutions of the model to solve it using a model that's never been suggested by biologists before. So the engineers might be taking over, the machine learning experts might be able to do science now.
But can they do podcasts, I say as
we'll
the biologist.
See. Ask me in an hour.
That's terrifying. If they're putting podcasts, I mean, who else is going to whine on with an interval for so long?
So a worm was split in two, and worms then create two new worms.
Yeah, so they can regenerate from any...
couldn't figure that out, and the computer could.
Yeah, exactly. The computer was able to trawl through all of the previous publications, all of the previous experiments, and it was able to come up with a model that actually is quite simple. So not only did it have to come up with an extremely complex model, it could create a model that was understandable to humans. So in theory, the computer taught the humans the model.
So you're a biologist, Simon. How does that make you feel?
My self-esteem wasn't that high in the first place. So.
Well, next year we could just be doing this with a George Foreman grill in your chair.
Oh, I'm sad. Right, so that's the kind of stuff which is happening right now. Now, so let's get sci-fi. Our experts here have brought along pitches within their ideas. We want to hear what they are, and then we'll come to you in the audience. So can we start with you, Alison? What is your idea?
So I work in the Infant Research Center, and everything I do is about understanding babies' brainwaves. But that's exciting for doctors. What would be really exciting for people would be if we could understand babies crying, babies babbling, babies' speech, let's call it. So my idea was that what if parents could have some inbuilt processing tool where they could learn each time a baby cries, and they could have a little classification of what that cry means, whether it means they need feeding, they need to sleep, they don't like someone that's in the room, they're too hot, they're too cold, they need a nappy change. This way we could really learn a lot from babies. You know, maybe they've got a lot to tell us.
Probably not, though.
Maybe more than some adults, I don't know.
Actually, yeah, okay, Neil, why? Why do you want to understand a baby? They haven't seen any good films. What are you going to talk about?
Well, yeah, well, it's a good point. But the point is, we don't know what they're saying. I think that's a good point. I don't think they have a whole lot to say, to be honest with you. I don't think a baby is suddenly going to go, I babble, therefore I am. There's no sort of philosophical... Well, like, it's going to be, meh, I shit myself. Isn't that what it's going to be?
But then you can solve the problem quicker. So, you know, all we're trying to do is solve a problem. And with a baby, often you don't know what the issue is.
Yeah,
so
but you pick the baby up. You do what time-honored tradition people do. You know, until you have kids, you have some degree of self-respect, and then you have a child, and you don't care anymore, and you'll pick a child up and sniff its arse in a shopping centre to see if it's actually pooed on itself. And I think that makes us human, and I don't want to take that away from people. I don't want the baby... basically, all babies then are going to be like Stewie from Family Guy, aren't they? The baby's going to turn to you and go, I have defecated in my nappy. I don't know why it has a cigarette. I've modelled a cigarette there in my hand there. I just like sophisticated babies. But you're right, like, I mean, what happens? I suppose you could use those sort of computer models then to talk to the animals and dolphins and, like, what does fungi have to say for himself?
Exactly, because people are actually looking at, like, the speech patterns of dogs and, let's say, the emotions of dogs and how maybe their barks might change in different emotional situations. So people are already looking at these kind of things. And I said, what if we did something a little bit closer to home? You know, what if you could understand if they were teething or if they
I reckon if you attached a sensor like that to fungi,
I reckon he would talk like one of the Healy Rays. I think he just stopped fungi randomly and could turn it and he'd be like, I think people should be able to drink and drive and have one pint and then swimming home. Never did anybody any harm. I think that's... So I think that's a brilliant idea. I love the idea. I love the sense behind it. I think they have not much to tell us, but I think that it's a very good idea because who knows what they have to tell us until they tell us.
So are you saying already that, Neil, this is on the shortlist as far as
it is on the shortlist, I'm afraid, yeah.
All right. I do think this is interesting. I've got a friend who's doing a lot of research into trying to create eye tests for babies. Because, of course, you can't tell anything's up with them until too late. So trying to interpret these kind of things.
They don't know their alphabet yet, so
yeah,
it's hard for them.
That's a fair point. I hadn't thought of that.
My friend once got an eye test, right? He was in a GP surgery and he was getting a general medical and he knew that the GP left the surgery and he knew he was going to get an eye test. So what he did is he went over to the eye test and he learned the maker's name on the bottom of the eye test. And the guy came back in and went, read the lowest line of that eye chart over there. And he went, made by H. Smith & Sons, Birmingham, 1995. The doctor rang around the other people in the area because he had somehow discovered a mutant with special sight. He was filling in grant application forms.
All right, Kian, yeah. You're up. Can you beat that?
I have my doubts, but I'll give it a go. So, like you said, I've worked on a lot of islands, working with animals that have rarely seen humans. And when animals see something that they're not used to, they're terrible judges of character and terrible judges of risk. And so they don't know whether I'm a threat, whether I should be cuddly. But humans are pretty bad at judging risks as well. I mean, how many famous last words have been, hold my beer, or... just have a look at the Darwin Awards and you can see we're pretty bad at it ourselves. So what if we had some kind of heads up display that just alerted us to risks that we didn't realize? You know, it has some very practical applications. It might be driving down a dangerous road, walking down a dangerous street, but I think it could also have maybe some interesting social applications. Like, let's say maybe you sit down for your first Tinder date with someone and this heads up display says, not for you. But then it could have some positive impacts as well. You know, like I'm a big bald man with resting bitch face, so it'd be helpful if there's a little flag that said, "I'm all right, harmless." A heads up display to help us identify risk because we're pretty poor at judging.
Aren't we more? Aren't we? What's the word I'm looking for? We are programmed to attach more importance to risk. Than we're very bad at calculating risk, and we tend to be more attracted to bad news.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Because so you're on the Serengeti and something you hear a roar, right? You don't think that, oh, look, that's probably a friendly lion, right? You go, that's most likely to be a big, scary lion because there is more...
Because it's a lion.
Because it's a lion, but the chances of anything bad happening, you're better off being safer and being more cautious. So we're addicted to bad news, for example. We tend to catastrophize things. Mm. So that could help mitigate against that, I suppose.
Yeah, so like optimal foraging theory says that like animals need to maximize return for the minimal risk and effort. Optimal foraging theory.
Theory, okay.
Yeah.
You see it in TK Maxx.
Yeah. So you see, like, if an animal is too risk adverse, then it's going to miss out on feeding opportunities. It's going to become weaker in the population. Whereas if it takes too many risks, death. So yeah. It's trying to get that balance right.
So all animals automatically do calculate risk at some point.
Yeah.
So which are the best? Do you know?
Well, which animals risk? Would have avoided the financial crash?
Like, if I go into a Las Vegas casino and see a duck counting cards, should I?
This is a genuine question, because that's the thing, because you're saying about how we're cautious, but we also know that we're also addicted to risk. Mm. We tend to be optimistic about how things are going to turn out. Gambling would not exist otherwise.
Yeah, precisely. So if you're asking what's the most cautious animal, well, I don't know if maybe cautious is the right word, but I've worked a lot with penguins, and they are some of the angriest animals in the world, and they just treat everything that comes near them as a threat. So anything that comes within biting or slapping distance, they will beat the living daylights out of it, whether that's me or another penguin. So when you have to walk through...
A penguin is taking you on.
Yeah, this
it's
penguin
impressive,
is
impressive. Actually, I don't know.
Well, I've lost a fight to many a penguin. And
could you not get the wrapper off?
How does that start?
Sorry, that was weak. Thank you.
That's a diabetic clapping that over there, right? Delight.
I just give myself an X on my notebook for that.
I think this would be interesting, because you could crowdsource, like, you know, past results. So that would mean that these people who, you know, have had bad experiences, we could learn from them. So it could be some way that we could actually crowdsource the data. So the more people that used whatever this was, the more data we learn from. So maybe you're the first person to see a duck in a casino, but person number two who sees a duck is going to do a good, they're going to win big, you know?
This sounds awfully like machine learning again.
Trying to get it in everywhere.
So hold on, actually.
I just want to figure out how the penguin attacked him. Is it just one penguin going, here, hold my fish?
I know. Yeah, and it's the smallest of the penguins, one of the smallest of the penguins as well. It's called a macaroni penguin, so it doesn't even look sinister. It has those little cute yellow eyebrows on it.
And then soon it runs Gotham.
Well, yeah. So as soon as you pick it up, it pecks, but then it slaps, and it slaps like 10 times in a second. So it's like being slapped repeatedly with a ruler. As if you ever misbehaved in class over and over again.
But you have big legs. You can walk away much faster than a penguin can.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it was my job to catch these penguins.
I see the issue.
And also, he's holding the penguin, so walking away while still holding it isn't as effective. Why is this still hurt? You're holding the bloody penguin.
And let go.
And were penguins always like this, or was it after there was so much intrusion after the film was made? Or
a heads-up display. Is it on the shortlist, Neil?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, all right, but I would wonder, my scientific head on me, you're trying to figure out how you calculate risk, so you're going to have to figure out a way, like you said, but bringing in previous data, and that's... Basically, you just get your granny to sit beside you at all points. Because that's what grannies do, isn't it? Just, no, she's not for you now. Yeah. Do you know? Or when you're driving the car too fast, slow down now. There could be a bend in the road at 15 miles from here. So it'd be just an attachment for your granny just to sit beside you. I think it's a good idea, but what would life be without a little bit of risk, you know?
So it's not on the shortlist, is it?
I think it needs a bit of work. Iteration 2, yeah, I think maybe.
Sorry, Ken.
No, I can take that.
Well,
I appreciate the sympathy.
Somebody went to
However, some sort of penguin defense device. Now you got me interested.
We found a need.
Considering we're sitting here like Dragon's Den, I'm in, I'm out, right?
So I'm afraid that's not on the short list. But audience, here at Cork Science Festival, I'm sure you can do better. So it's your chance. Who's got an idea?
My name's Ian, and my idea is kind of an ergonomic one. So we've all been in situations where we're sitting in church or somewhere like that.
No, we haven't.
Well, this place is called church.
Sorry, mate, go on.
But you know, we're all like sitting and squirming on the pew, you know, like your ass cheeks are hurting a small bit. how about having a third buttock on the back of your back in like a triangular formation? So if you're feeling pain in two, you can rotate the buttocks.
You see, I just like the way he says buttock.
That's buttocks. It's French.
Like you've just learned the words. I would like two buttocks, please.
But that's my idea. It's for maximum comfort, you know?
And what our listeners at home and the people in the front row can't see is that you're miming this. That's
I am. I've been thinking about it.
The third buttock, would it be as the same size? It wouldn't be the same size as the other two.
Buyer's choice.
Buyer's choice.
Buyer's choice.
Oh, there's a market in this.
There's a market.
Wow. Lidl, we'd probably start selling this.
I'm looking
only
for grants.
For milk and butter, and I bought an arse cheek on the way out.
I feel like a cushion already solves this problem, or is this...
She's got a very good point.
What do you think, panel? Because this guy's competing against you. Ian might be onto something here.
Yeah, he might have something there, you know?
Are you also criticising the seats in this venue secretly or something? What's this? We had to rent these chairs. This is a nightclub, you know.
No, just a childhood in church, being dragged to mass. I suffered a long, long time. It's time to make a difference.
You see, I think it's not a bad idea, but I again, the cushion kind of overcomes it. And I can't put that on, despite... I don't think that's better than Cian's suggestion of the risk display, so I don't think we can put that on. Sorry.
Sorry, Ian. Give him a huge round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thanks for playing.
Has anybody got any other suggestions?
Hi, my name is Anna.
Hi,
so
Anna.
Mine is kind of an extension on yours, Cian, so I'm sorry if it sort of steals your idea.
No, go ahead.
But if human DNA, if we incorporated memory, so if we could learn the major lessons from our ancestors, it'd make history way more fun, because there'd be way more debate about it, because you'd have people running around in the world right now who remember things about Genghis Khan and think he's actually a great lad. And like, say, cows born on farms in Ireland, they know to get up off the ground. They stand up as soon as they're born, and that's innate knowledge. So it's something that they just instinctively know to stand up because the ground is cold, whereas babies don't, because they don't have that innate knowledge programmed into them. But if kind of like we had that inbuilt knowledge about certain risks, that would be kind of cool.
That's way better than my idea.
Also, you're the most Cork person I've met in a long time, which is great. Genghis Khan was a great lad.
I'm from rural Cork.
He was just a kind of an over-enthusiastic horseman. Sure, the Mongols were great crack at a party.
Anna. I think actually, again, you might be hitting something that we already have.
Do we not have cultural learning? That's a different thing, is it?
But if you're talking about this sort of like inherited fear and risk stuff, a paper came out only about 2 weeks ago showing that babies know to be scared of snakes. And horses that have never seen snakes know to be scared of snakes.
How?
There's loads of animals
do
like that.
Yeah. Who did that experiment? That must have been great crack.
Of course,
just get a baby, bring him to photo. You're not going to like this. Now, tell us if you're scared or not. Oh, we haven't developed the technology to understand an infant.
See, it's necessary, you know, for experimental purposes at least.
They couldn't do the experiment in Ireland, of course. That's the problem.
No snakes. No. Yeah. So genuinely, how did they do that? Did they show them pictures of snakes? Did they show them snakes?
They were like measuring fear reactions and sticking them in the MRI scanners and that kind of thing.
Put a baby in an MRI scanner, put a snake in there as well.
Jesus Christ. Who did the ethical approval there?
I'll be honest, I'm hazy on the details.
You are. Yeah, you are a little bit hazy on the details.
You get the idea.
I actually think there's merit to that. I think she'd go on the shortlist. I don't know how it'll be done, but it's not a bad idea.
Give Anna a big round of applause. Thank you very much.
My name is Maria, and I'm thinking the ability to toggle fertility on and off at will.
Do you know what?
Oh, that's easy. You wear a check shirt. You don't even get to the sex at that point. It's a contraceptive device. It's a very easy thing to do. Boom. Next one. Who's next?
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing except two lads in the front row in check shirts. Look. This is Lumberjack. Shut your face. That's a great idea.
Is it on the list?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Woo. Yeah.
Give Maria a big round of applause. one final segment for this. We've had ideas from our amazing expert panel. We've had ideas from our audience. I'm going to pitch in with one idea from Mother Nature, because that's full of great evolutionary ideas. I'm going to suggest we take an idea from this creature here. This is a face mite.
Oh.
Every single human that's ever been looked at has them. We all have ones. We get them from our family. If you're feeling itchy right now, then, well, yeah, you know, they're
everybody
there anyway.
Has these.
Everyone.
But I think refuse to believe Sharon Neve-Yolan has these.
There's one exception, is that
okay.
It?
Go on.
Well, and actually, I think this is a good thing. What I'm going to suggest we take from them is they never poo.
So they're perfectly economic.
Well, you've gone utterly silent for that. I mean, are you thinking about it? Or
you give and you take. These things are on our faces, but they don't defecate.
They don't defecate, which is very considerate for a start.
It is.
Wouldn't you love that? You'd spend so much time and Donald Trump would never tweet again.
But this is where does it go?
They basically keep it stored up in their body until they die.
But so they're efficient, completely efficient. They use every part of everything?
No, but they just don't get rid of the waste. They carry it around.
So they just balloon over the years, like that girl from Willy and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
How big do they get?
Well, just about that big. They're on your
really
face.
Big.
They're
not...
Well, I think I'd notice that on my face.
I think I'd go
so how
that.
Do they get rid of their waste? Because I seem to remember from biology in first year, excretion was one of the signs of life, right?
Yeah.
And Rory eats... Robbie makes Fiona sing and eats Rory's greens for the seven... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a mnemonic for the seven signs of being alive.
Yeah.
So they have to excrete. So how do they excrete? Or do they excrete gas or something?
So they do like give off carbon dioxide. They breathe in the same kind of way. So they are doing some kind of exchange. They don't excrete in necessarily the classical ways. They do process waste, but they basically accumulate it over their life instead. They're hoarders. That's
they're
all I'm
hoarders.
Saying.
Yeah. Okay.
We've all got a mother or two like this, don't we? Well, one. You know.
I think, you know, God, at the risk of making my decision, it would be very handy not to have to go to the loo, I suppose, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we could keep...
It would be very handy not to...
See, that guy would still be sat there, for a start.
Yeah.
He genuinely is going to the loo. Was it all this talk? Wow. Did he just do that for a laugh?
I've seen his face for most of the podcast. I don't think he does anything for a laugh, to be honest with you.
He's gone to take a closer look at his face to look for these guys.
Yeah, he's in there with a massive magnifying glass going, I can see them all!
Yeah.
I know that has to go on the shortlist.
It's on the shortlist?
Yeah.
All right then. So, Neil, you've made it hard for yourself.
I have made it hard for myself, but given that you actually host a podcast and are on it every week, what do you think the chances are I'm going to pick your choice?
Not very much.
No, not very much, no.
So, here's a rundown of the ideas we've had. There's been Alison's idea for baby language.
Yeah.
We discarded Cain's. We discarded Ian's third buttock. We had Anna's idea of encoding history in some way in our DNA, so we're not just nostalgic, but we know the things that we've had previous experiences. We've had Maria's idea of optional fertility, like a fertility switch. And then we had a final idea from face mites of never pooing again. What's it going to be?
I've narrowed it down to two, and I think it's between Alison and Maria. And I like the idea that you could hack someone like Piers Morgan and just switch his fertility off and go, you're not allowed to have kids. I'm going to go with Alison. Yeah, because Maria, we're very close to that anyway. That can nearly happen, so I'm going to go with Alison.
Wonderful. Well done.
Now do I have to implement it?
Yeah, I was going to ask, so...
Now I have to implement it. I got to drop my PhD and move on to this one.
So, ladies and gents, you heard it here first. We're going to take that idea and we're going to add it to our package when we renew the subscription of our species. Before we go, we got one final thing to do. Can we please give a large round of applause to our amazing guests? We have Kyan Luck, we've had Alison O'Shea, we've had Neil T. Lemaire, and of course we've had the wonderful audience here at the Science Festival in Cork.
That was Level Up Human. Hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Hey,
Hey, you. Do you like politics? No, of course you don't. Absolutely no one does. Politics is even less fun than that board game with the pegs. You know the one. Little pegs, little tiny multicoloured pegs. No one liked it. Yeah, that one. Exactly. The problem is, politics affects absolutely everything, from that game with the little pegs to your favourite cheese or what poncho to wear when it's humid but cloudy, all the way to less important stuff like education, health, affording to live, and how many times you break your TV swearing at it because the Prime Minister has said something awful again. I'm Tina Duyeb, despite all of my efforts, and every week I waste away my Mondays to bring you the Partly Political Broadcast, a podcast that looks at politics with a dirty side eye and then makes a ton of jokes about it before interviewing a different genuinely clever guest each week who can actually explain it, and then just when you're sick of crying at the horror of everything, throws in jokes again. Phew! From your Brexits to your Trumps to your global crisis to your economies to your whatever the hell happy-slapped uncooked dough man Boris Johnson has said this week, subscribe and listen to Partly Political Broadcast on the podcast app of your choice and it will all be explained. Unlike that game with the pegs. You know the one. You know the one with the little coloured pegs. Oh, it's such a stupid game. Partly Political Broadcast is out every Tuesday, ready to be fired into your ears like an unwarranted North Korean missile.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.